Word of mouth.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. There's a lab in Minneapolis that has a Guinness World Record certified anechoic room. It's touted to be the world's quietest place. The room has been rigged to be 99.99% sound absorbent. It is so unnervingly quiet that the longest anyone has been able to stand being in the room is 45 minutes. People begin to hallucinate in the absence of external sound. They become disoriented, hearing only the beat of their heart and their breath entering and exiting their lungs. Unlike meditating in a quiet place, it is completely still. And people begin to feel a little mad. Silence is powerful. But as Joel Beckerman says, sound is also what anchors us in our world. Joel is an award-winning composer and producer for television and founder of Man-Made Music. That's a company specializing in sonic branding. And his new book is called Sonic Boom. Joel, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me, Virginia.
So what happens to people inside of this anechoic chamber in Minneapolis?
Well, as you said so correctly in your intro, it is completely unnerving to be in an anechoic chamber because we are used to having this soundtrack around us all the time. Even if we think it's quiet, there's always something to listen to. So in that chamber, you do begin to hear the only thing there is in the room, which is yourself. And you start hearing your heartbeat, and you start hearing, if you hear a high-pitched whine, you actually hear the electromagnetic waves from your brain, and you're actually hearing these things, which is one of the reasons that you become so unnerved.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience from what I understand.
I guess it's not like, you know, does the Dalai Lama experience that? Do we know?
I don't know. I think he seems a little too calm for that, I would imagine. But I think the point really is that we cannot escape sound. It is around us every single moment of our entire lives, and we may not be aware of it.
Well, we're told now that we're in a visual culture, but radio, my field, is, of course, dependent on sound. And when silence happens in radio, we call it dead air. You know, we dread it. How does sound anchor us in our world?
Well, I would actually argue that we're in a visual medium storytelling world because the fact is that television and film really is a sonic medium. Have you ever tried to watch a television show or watch a movie without the soundtrack? You just don't know what's going on, and there's nothing to anchor you into that experience. There's actually some amazing research that was done by Anirudh Patel, who's a professor at Tufts University. And what he did was he took a clip of a film, and then he put a variety of different soundtracks behind it. And you just imagine, oh, well, different music might trigger different emotional responses. But that really was just table stakes. What it showed, actually, is that the music that was played behind the clip changed your perception of the relationship between the characters on the screen. It changed your perception of what their backstory was. It changed your perception of the trajectory that the story was going to take. So actually, music and sound is incredibly powerful. It gives us this amazing treasure trove of information in just a very, very short period of time, really in an instant.
And you mentioned in the book that once a person begins to listen for the sound in their lives, that they can't stop hearing it. You know, it's like, you know, thinking about buying a new car or an orange car. You see orange cars everywhere. When you create sonic experiences in stores or for the Super Bowl, which is one of the things that you've done, is the idea that you don't hear it, but you feel it? I mean, if a person notices the sound, does that mean something is not quite right?
Yes and no. It really depends on what it is, what experiences we're trying to provide to people, what kinds of ways we want to engage them, bring them into an experience. So often, sound that is overt, right in your face, can be very, very intrusive. And actually, that's the kind of thing that really repels people, wants them to walk away from experiences. But every once in a while, those kinds of sounds, which are very what we call foreground sounds, can be incredibly appealing. A song that you love in a, for instance, in a motion picture, or maybe there is somebody's voice that is front and center that's giving you some information that you might really love, or an actor who's being very evocative and emotional in terms of what they're speaking about. And then there's the opposite, where music and sound can be the score, the very sort of quiet, subtle background for an experience. And it just triggers your mood, sets you down a certain path. So, for instance, we created for AT&T in one of their retail stores, which is actually called an innovation store. So it's a bit different than a typical retail store. We created an experience for them. So when customers walk into the foyer right at the beginning, there is a very, very sort of quiet ambience. It's barely something that you can recognize, but it does change your mood. And then there are all these sort of whimsical sounds that come up every once in a while. There's a little, there's a moment where there is, you hear a little firework, and there's another where you hear something spinning or whirring in the distance. And then you hear a little metal ball kind of going down almost a xylophone kind of stairway, playing actually the AT&T notes in a very quiet, subtle way. And it just sets you, it sets your mood, and it sets you into this place, this mindset, where perhaps you're going to be open and you're going to be a little bit, you're going to slow down. Mm. Then we also talk about mid-ground sound, and those are the things that are in the middle. So please, if anybody is doing this during drive time, don't do this now, but you can do it when you get home, or if you happen to be home right now, you can close your eyes and listen to the sounds around you, and you'll hear things that are in the foreground, the midground, and the background, and you can begin to identify them and pick them apart and really decide for yourself which of those sounds help your experience and which detract.
Well, you're talking about triggering sort of emotional responses and even, you know, somewhat transporting, I think, in time and space. How does sound affect some of the things that we use or are sold as products, like perceptions of flavor, for example?
Perceptions of flavor, amongst many other attributes of products and services, they're really completely dependent upon your sonic environment, which may not be at all obvious to you until you sit and think about maybe the last time you went to a restaurant. And let's say you went to a restaurant, you went there with some friends, and you want to have a conversation, and you want to enjoy some wonderful food. And let's say that restaurant is a bit loud, it's a bit noisy. So maybe 20 minutes in, you're starting to realize you're shouting across the table at someone. And so it begins to sort of irritate you, the background noise. Now the food shows up. And when the food shows up, perhaps the din of the noise around you, you're not really aware of the crunchiness of your vegetables or your salad. Perhaps you're overstimulated by the sound and the noise and the people on the table next to you. And let's say it's one of those restaurants where there's a lot of reverberation of the sound, and they haven't really given a lot of thought to the materials and the dimensions and the architecture, which unfortunately is a lot of restaurants. Well, now what happens is all those distractions also impact your perception of the flavor. So food starts to taste bland to you. So think about last time you were on an airplane. That's a perfect example of where there's a lot of background noise. Now, maybe airplane food doesn't qualify as fine cuisine, but it definitely degrades your experience of whatever you're eating when all your senses don't come into play, because that's what is so marvelous about a great culinary experience is that all the senses are tied together.
Well, although they don't do it well necessarily, some restaurants and some retail spaces do carefully engineer how sound travels, is used inside of their establishments. So there are places where sound, for example, keeps us in the store, you know, keeps us buying drinks. Is that allowed in? And there are others that, you know, they think, well, we want the table to turn over at X amount of time, so we'll make the sound a little louder. How does that work on us?
Well, there's a lot of research that shows that things like quick tempo music, more upbeat music, does tend to move people through spaces quicker. That slower tempo music does tend to have you slow down. So, and there are many other many, many other metrics about that in terms of background music. But the main thing is that if people – we're in an era now where people are incredibly savvy about these things. The sound in your advertising, the sound in your products, the sounds in the sponsorships and spaces, the sounds in the devices. If audiences feel that that sound is put there to manipulate you, you turn them off, sometimes forever.
Hmm.
Now, the flip side is the companies that understand that really what people want is they want a relationship with these brands that they love. I know Apple certainly taught us that amongst many other brands. Apple has this wonderful startup sound, very sort of warm and rich and mellifluous type of sound. It wasn't always that way, by the way. We talk about that in the book, that the initial Mac sound was actually a very, very discordant, sort of mechanical, everything went wrong kind of sound. But now the Mac sounds are very warm and welcoming. And Apple does a wonderful job with sound in their spaces and also in their devices.
Well, so that is about sound engineering on the end, on the product end. But there's also the selling of those products. And I want to just talk about jingles, because these are things that stick in people's heads for years. Let's listen to just a few of them that we find the stickiest.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is
ice cold milk and an Oreo cookie made forever.
Flop, flop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
I am stuck on Band-Aid brand, cause Band-Aid stuck on me.
To be a pepper, drink Dr. Pepper.
So those are jingles that were written for products, but now brands are more likely to use ready-made, well-known pop songs for their commercials. So we don't hear the custom brand jingles anymore. What happened to the jingles? Did they find them no longer effective?
Well, jingles really became no longer effective because, again, now we're in an age where we don't want to be sold. So if you think about the Oscar Mayer Wiener song or other jingles that we know from decades ago, it doesn't really necessarily remind you, make you think about the product today. It actually makes you think about simpler times when you were younger, when all of us were younger. And that's actually the warm feeling we get now is really more about our own personal history and associated with it. So you'll notice that there really are very, very rare occasions, and usually they're comedic ones now, where brands will create brand new jingles. However, and you're talking about the popular music examples, which is great. Popular music actually can be very powerful. But there are also a lot of brands that have gotten themselves into a fair amount of trouble that way. One that comes to mind off the top of my head is Royal Caribbean, which is a cruise ship company. And they love this song, Lust for Life. Which,
Iggy Pop?
You know, Iggy Pop, which, gee, it sounds so positive and up and energetic. But unfortunately, nobody bothered to really look at the lyrics and realize that the song was about a hooker and a heroin dealer. So that's an extreme example. But the public called out to Royal Caribbean, and this happens all the time now, where if brands are not smart enough to understand what the music means, and they really just try to sort of put it like a coat of paint on the outside of the barn of their brand, and they're not thinking about the meaning of it, it actually can have disastrous implications.
Joel Beckerman is an award-winning composer and producer for television and is founder of Man-Made Music. It's a company specializing in sonic branding. His new book, written with Tyler Gray, is called Sonic Boom.
WGTO, wear a uniform, a line of government loan. I'm worth a million.
Coming up, a Hollywood sound designer talks about his process for creating a demonic soundscape for the 2001 film From Hell, a murder mystery starring Johnny Depp. Listen for the sound of evil when word of mouth continues.